This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
The droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fume. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and wife, Nancy.
Hi!
On today's episode, we're talking with our friend Heath Williams all about Luke Skywalker and his role in the future of the Star Wars saga. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. And again, before we go too much further, we do have Heath on.
Hi, Heath!
Hey guys, how's it going?
It's good.
Good.
So Heath is one of the many people that we met at Celebration, even though it was only briefly.
It was painfully brief.
Yes, we'll blame you for that.
Yeah, totally my fault.
But so we are having all of our Celebration friends on the show because it's a way we can extend Celebration forever.
Until the next one.
Yes. And since Heath loves Luke Skywalker almost as much as I do, because no one loves him as much as I do.
Right. Yeah, almost.
The topic was obvious. And so, Heath, this is your first time on the show, so we have to ask you the obligatory first question, which is, how did you become a Star Wars fan?
It's such a good question. So it was late 1996, so like right as they were gearing up to release the special editions, and I was at Kmart with my mom in the toy aisle, and I saw a Micro Machines Jawa Sandcrawler, and I just, like, fell in love with that vehicle. Like, I had to have it. So I ended up getting it for Christmas that year. She, like, wouldn't buy it for me then. and then just became obsessed with this one toy and just the idea of Star Wars without having ever even seen it yet. And then my grandfather took me to see the special edition of A New Hope the second weekend it was out. And from that second, when the crawl started, I was just obsessed, like helplessly obsessed. Bought a ton of books, spent my time reading them. It was like all I could think about for quite a while, and that like went through the release of the prequel movies. I feel like that was like the best time to grow up with Star Wars. I was around 11 or 12-ish when Phantom Menace came out. So like perfect age to be just obsessed and enthralled with this space journey with creatures and aliens and laser swords. It was just like such a good time to grow up with Star Wars.
And now we have it all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't hold it against you that you were 11 when Phantom Menace came out.
Good. It's not my fault. It's not my fault.
It's not your fault. Okay, so yeah, we're glad to have you on, and hope we have a good discussion.
Yeah, of course we will. It's about Luke.
We are going to have to put a time cap on this discussion. I'm just saying that now.
Whatever. Did someone say cap?
Oh, God.
We'll come back to that. Before we go too much further, a note from our sponsors. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel, Transformers, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast.
And you picked up a few things this last weekend.
Well,
how many?
I only bought two things. I bought the lightsaber shirt and the Imperial cardigan. Well,
You bought two lightsaber
shirts. I bought two lightsaber shirts for myself. Okay. So I bought other things, but they were for other people. But I didn't get the lightsaber or the Imperial cardigan at Celebration because I wasn't sure if I wanted it or not. But after wearing the X-Wing cardigan, I decided that, yes, I liked it. So I had to get the Imperial version. And I had no intentions of ever buying the lightsaber shirt until Kathleen Kennedy wore it at Celebration. And because I am a lemming, I decided I needed one too. And it was so comfortable, and I liked it so much that I decided to buy a second one, so I could have one to wear at work and one to wear for play.
This makes you a sucker.
It does make me a sucker. I fully admit that. I'm a sucker. But if I'm going to be a sucker for anything, I will be a sucker for her universe clothing.
And remember, check out the link on Tashi-Station.net.
Right? But yeah, you know, Star Wars weekends, got to buy a bunch of her universe stuff.
Seriously, though, if you do wonder why we push directing you all to the blog to click on the links, we get a 10% cut of the Her Universe sales when you do that, and that helps us pay for web hosting costs.
Yeah.
Which is
especially
very
when I don't buy it through the link because I bought the stuff at Celebration and Star Wars weekends.
Way to go, Nancy.
Oops. Well, we save money on shipping.
And we got a 10% cast or a pass holder discount.
We did.
There you go.
Let's stop embarrassing you, Nancy, and let's go to what's new on the blog.
I am not embarrassed about buying her universe stuff, and why should I be?
Nor should you be.
Yeah, absolutely. Nor should you be. Nor should you be.
So, yeah, we have a whole lot of stuff on the blog because we haven't been doing a regular podcast for a month. So now we are. So here's a month's worth of stuff for you to read about on the blog.
This is the first regular podcast we've done since Celebration ended.
It is. So, this week, I recapped week one of Star Wars Weekends. If you haven't read that yet, go and check it out on the blog. It was a ton of fun, as usual. And there is four more weekends left. Yay!
And stay tuned for next weekend's recap, because this is our anniversary weekend.
Yes.
Which means we're staying on resort and spending a lot more time there and having a lot more fun.
And staying, going to the 24-hour Magic Kingdom event until we pass out.
That's awesome.
And then going to, and then going to Hollywood Studios bright and early the next day. Woohoo. So Bria reviewed a whole bunch of comics, since we last did our regular show. She reviewed Star Wars number 4 and 5, Princess Leia number 3, Kanan number 2, and Darth Vader number 5. Lords of the Sith has come out. We did a go, no go for that. And Brian had a more in-depth review, and Sho wrote about Moff Moors and the importance of first impressions. In celebration of the Kentucky Derby, Carr resurrected the Bake It So column with Boonta Eve pod racing pie. It looks delicious. You should go make it. And
was that directed at me?
No, it was directed at everybody, if you would like to.
But especially you.
Yeah.
But especially you.
There's a bunch of odds and ends from Celebration. Besides the podcast that we posted and all of our recap podcasts, we have a cosplay roundup. What Celebration taught us about The Force Awakens, what Celebration taught us about Rogue One, what Celebration taught us about Rebels, Celebration Anaheim publishing news, an interview with Jason Fry. I also wrote a thank you column to Kathleen Kennedy, aka our new queen. And finally, Tashi Station goes to Disneyland.
And breathe.
That's a lot of blogs.
Yeah, that's what Celebration and not having a regular podcast for a month will do for you.
And I guess we'll talk about this next, but we've discovered that our convention circuit is not over.
No.
Which is why we're going to go into Fixer's Flash now. See that segue?
Woo-hoo.
That
segue?
Nice.
And we're going to Dragon Con.
We are. Oh, that wasn't on the show notes.
No, that wasn't on the show notes.
Yes, we are going to Dragon Con. Yay!
So we have pitched some panels to Brandy, the great track director for the Star Wars track over at Dragon Con. We'll be there. We'll be participating in various production stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
And generally engaging in all sorts of debauchery after hours.
Yes. Dragon Con is wonderful, and you should go. Everyone should go.
The alternative name is Debauchery Con.
I love that so much.
God, yeah.
So good.
And like you said, Nancy, we were at Star Wars Weekends.
Yes, it's not a con, but it's like a con. And in some ways, it's better than a con because it lasts 5 weekends. So you don't have to cram everything into one weekend. And you can actually go home and sleep and, like, do chores and stuff. It's fantastic.
Provided you live in Orlando.
Well, I mean, why would anyone not live in Orlando? That's a silly idea. But yeah, if you haven't been to Star Wars Weekends, Star Wars Weekends is great. It's super fun. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of every 5 weeks, end of May, beginning of June. And we've talked about it on the podcast. Last week we had Savannah on and talked all about it. And I'm sure we'll have a big recap when we end the 5 weeks. But Ian McDiarmid was here this past weekend, which was a first. And he was very fun. Big ham. And I'm looking forward to week 5 when we have another newbie, Frank Oz. That'll be cool. But yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And now, Heath, since you're our guest, you get to participate in Fixer's Flash and tell us what geeky things you've been up to.
Oh, what have I been up to? I tried really hard to get tickets to New York City Comic Con, but that was a massive debacle.
That was so sad.
So yeah. To make up for that, you should come to Dragon Con. Just saying.
You are not the first person to say that, and I doubt you will be the last person to say that either. I haven't really done too many geeky things since Celebration. I mean, I celebrated May 4th by watching the entire original trilogy on May the 3rd, since May the 4th was a weekday, which makes it difficult. But aside from that, it's been pretty quiet on the geek front for me, which is sad. But here I am. I'm doing this.
You did buy a bunch of Captain America comics.
I did. That was quite the haul that I came home with today, so I'm excited about that.
And you've been reading a Star Wars book.
I have, yes. That's right. I've been asking for people's recommendations for Star Wars EU novels since I've never actually read many of them.
You're welcome and or I'm sorry.
Yes. It was a lot to go through. Some deciphering for some people who decided to not use the numbering system. I won't name any names there.
What? Hey, I kept to the numbering until we got to the very end and they no longer deserved numbers.
See, I was like scrolling through and I was like, okay. Then I got to the end and I was like, I don't know what this means.
It means abandon hope, all ye who enter here.
I think given everybody else's rankings, I can figure out where you're going with this. Yeah. So, yes, due to those rankings, I picked up Luke Skywalker in the Shadows of Mindor over the weekend. I'm about halfway through, really, really enjoying it. Wish I had more time during the week to actually read, but I'll probably plow through the second half at some point this weekend. It's really, really good so far. Thanks everyone who gave me recommendations.
It is so good.
Yeah, I really enjoy it.
It is my...
But I'm like, yeah. I'm so distressed. I said this on Twitter today. Like, Han doesn't have the Falcon right now. Mm-hmm. Luke is like in some crazy crap. And I'm like really distressed, but can't like get through the rest to not be distressed anymore.
See, this is why it annoys me when people talk about the expanded universe and how writing books like earlier in the timeline takes all the tension out. Because I'm like, no, it doesn't. If you write it well.
Yeah.
And I seriously spent a lot of that book wondering how the heck they were going to come out alive.
Yep. And like clearly Han will get the Falcon back, but like mm-hmm. right now Han doesn't have the Falcon and that's not okay.
No, it's not okay. And also I will say that book is my favorite portrayal of Luke Skywalker in the entire Star Wars saga.
Yep, it's really good.
Yeah. The beginning part when he is landing that cruiser. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. It's fantastic.
So good.
should move on before we start.
We should. We don't want to get to Cammy's concerns too early. Deke's Dirt News from around fandom. And Star Wars Rebels is returning on June 20th with a one-hour movie. And then it takes another hiatus until September.
I am both happy and annoyed about this.
Yeah.
Because I want to see the season premiere. I wish I'd been able to see it before Star Wars Weekends, but it's just so annoying that it's like, okay, we're going to give you an hour long show, and oh, but then you have to
wait. The one week layoffs were brutal last season, and we weren't as emotionally invested yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
This is going to hurt.
It is. It is. Very much so.
So, June 20th, one-hour movie, then you're waiting till September for the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And if I'm wagering a guess, it's a 22-episode run. They'll do 11 winter hiatus and then another 11.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And Wired has the definitive oral history on Industrial Light and Magic. Have you taken a look at this one yet, Nancy?
I haven't, no.
It's really, really good. One of the best pieces Wired's put together in quite some time.
Cool. Yeah, no, I've been looking through the Vanity Fair stuff, which we'll talk about next. And maybe
I noticed that
right
thing
now.
Just falls right open to Poe Dameron.
I might have it bookmarked.
Yeah, they don't all do that.
No, my bookmarks. Nope, there it goes.
Which, of course, brings us to Big's bullshite Star Wars film news. And, yeah, we're going to start with that Vanity Fair photo spread.
Yep, it's a spread.
Listeners, Nancy has the Poe Dameron spread right in front of her right now.
I do. So, yes, we discussed the photos a few weeks ago when we had Megan on. But there's a... several very lovely pictures in here. There's our first look at Kylo Ren sans mask, and it's Adam Driver. Surprise!
I know we were all holding against all hope that it was Gwendolyn Christie, but yeah.
No, we'll get to her. And he's got some snowtroopers on a snow planet. Apparently that's their secret base now. They're copping the rebels. Then there's a bunch of denizens from Maz Kanata's pirate castle because Lupita Nyong'o is playing a freaking space pirate and has her own castle.
Can we actually talk about that page there and looking at how awesome it is that all of these characters are practical effect and makeup?
I will admit, this page scares me.
It scares you?
It scares me.
Why does it scare you?
Because of this stupid black dog thing in the front of it.
Black dog thing?
Yes!
Hang on.
The dog
thing!
Yeah,
I have to pull my note.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
It's
that's
scary!
That's a little creepy. Everything else is pretty cool, though.
Yeah. Well, no, there's a lot of creepy things in here. But I'm being xenophobic right now.
Yeah, I mean, it has really sharp teeth. I could see that.
Yeah.
Okay, Nancy, keep going installing because I accidentally closed out the show notes for
myself. Oh, way to go. There's a stormtrooper in the back. It's kind of
just lurking.
Interesting. Yeah, wondering if it's just, someone with armor. There's a really old-looking dude in the front. Looks like he's going to eat you. Suck your dreams or something. Yeah. Yeah, these people do not look happy. There's a little... Go ahead.
I think this is actually my favorite photo out of all of them.
What?
You're wrong. I know. There's Poe. But this, you see it and it feels and looks like Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I saw it and got really excited because there's so much to take in.
It looks like the cantina.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing too is that these aren't any aliens we've seen before. These are all new aliens.
There's some in there that's very recognizable as Macquarie concept art.
Yeah.
But this is all stuff we haven't seen in the saga films before.
Yeah, and that's kind of crazy that there's still new things to be exploring. And I'm gonna
skip. Funny what happens when you don't go back to Tatooine for the fifth time.
Yeah, I'm gonna skip that for now. And then we have our first picture. We saw her in the teaser, but confirmation that Captain Phasma, which gonna have to get used to that name, aka the Chrome Trooper, is in fact Gwendolyn Christie, and she looks amazing.
She doesn't take the helmet off at any point, though. I'm going to be very upset.
I'll be so mad.
I'll be really mad, too, because...
If they cast Lupita and she's CGI, and then Gwendolyn is wearing a mask the whole time, that's just not the best.
No, it's not cool. I'm glad they're there, but... I hope this doesn't mean we're going to have a whole episode about representation again.
Is it a day that ends in Y? It's a possibility.
Yep.
We'll withhold our arguments until we actually see the movie. Then there's a shot of Rey on her speeder with JJ directing. And there's some other people in the foreground. And then there's a picture of what they call the brain trust behind The Force Awakens, which is J.J. Abrams, Lawrence Kasdan, Kathleen Kennedy, and John Williams.
I am so happy that John Williams is included in that brain trust.
Me too!
Because we have to be honest, Star Wars is not Star Wars. No. If that film in 1977 is released with the typical sci-fi B-grade Moog synthesizer soundtrack.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And just like... the teasers, the first one, the music was great. The second one, the music. I could listen to that music over and over. That 2-minute clip of music over and over and over and over and over.
It's so good.
Yeah.
So good.
It's fantastic. And then there's a pic of some dude named Poe Dameron next to his X-Wing.
Some dude.
I'm not sure what's prettier.
His hair's all windswept, and he's got his hand on his shoulder, and his other hand is on the X-Wing. And it looks like he's ready to, jump off and rescue someone. And I have a lot
I'm Poe Dameron, and I'm here to rescue you.
I have a lot
you.
Of feelings about this picture.
He could not be in a more perfect pose.
I know!
The one leg up, and... it's really good.
God bless you, Annie Leibovitz.
Where would we be without her?
I know. It's just and I love that they call him dashing in the caption. Because it's they knew what they were doing.
Correct adjective.
And this is what it makes me annoyed when people are like, girls don't like Star Wars. Because I'm like, really? Then why would they give us this if they don't think we like Star Wars? There's something here for everyone. There's something here for ladies who like men, there's something here for men who like men, and there's something there for people who just like X-Wings.
I get all of the above.
You're not a woman who likes men.
Oh, I didn't hear that first qualifier.
Interesting. Yeah.
But yes, it's a nice picture. I'm going to turn it close.
So we can focus on the podcast again.
I'm going to take the Luke art out now, so. Sorry, Poe. You're my second.
And in there as well was a JJ.
For now.
Yeah.
In there as well was a JJ JJ Abrams interview, which generated controversy because, we can't go a day without having controversy.
I haven't read it all yet, but,
Shrug.
Yeah.
I really liked the article. He referred to at one point a scene he was cutting as wonderful preposterousness, which to me was just the most perfect two-word description for Star Wars I've ever heard in my life. I love it.
I agree that
it's really hard to read all these interviews with JJ and with Kathleen Kennedy and not come away with the impression that they just get it.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. Absolutely.
Which is making it really hard for me to regulate my expectations and hopes.
I know. They're, really high right now, which could be bad.
I am either going to walk out of the theater sobbing with joy or as angry as I've ever been in my life at this point.
And also sobbing.
Yeah,
sobbing
and also sobbing. I'm crying either way, folks.
Yeah.
There was also an interview with costume designer Michael Kaplan and an interview with Lawrence Kasdan, in which we find out that, you know what, Lando might show up eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I don't think that we would not see him, you know, especially since he didn't show up until the first or until the second movie in the original trilogy. You know, I kind of feel like maybe they just don't want to bring everyone back right away. It makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, it does, like, they would want to have a part for him, you know, have him there for a reason and not just be like, oh, we got to bring back Lando, you know.
And, you know, he can come back alongside General Antilles when they've worn Dennis Lawson down a bit more. Yeah. I'm down with that.
He better not be related to Finn.
That would be the laziest storytelling.
There has got to be more than one black family in that galaxy.
I have to discuss my theory on who Finn is related to eventually.
We can probably squeeze that in there next podcast episode or two.
Yeah. I mean, I hate saying it because I don't want it to be people like, oh, just because he's a black character too. And it's like, no, there's another reason. Yeah. I think that.
Yeah.
Because Finn's last name hasn't been made public. And I think there's a reason for that. And I think he's force sensitive, which would relate to someone we haven't really seen but know about. That's all I'm going to say about that.
There was an interview with Pip Anderson about his role. Pip. I actually hadn't seen this
such
interview.
Such a good name.
I love saying the name Pip.
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 Is it short for something or is it literally just Pip?
I hope it's just Pip.
Short for something.
I hope it's short for something because that
would be a cruel, cruel thing to do to your child.
Hey, I have to look this up now. PipAnderson.com. Don't you have a Wikipedia or something? He doesn't have a Wikipedia.
An IMDb listing, perhaps?
Yeah, but let me see. All right. You keep going. I'm going to look.
According to a Japanese press event, Daisy Ridley was... I don't know how to pronounce that.
Well, the interview with him, it makes it seem like he's got like a substantial part. I mean, he might not be in a lot of it, but he did mention working with Harrison Ford. So there you go.
The more you know.
It doesn't say what his real name is.
That's unfortunate.
I know.
So according to the Japanese press event, Daisy Ridley was trained in...
stave arts.
Yes, thank you. I can't even begin to pronounce that without offending someone, so I'm just not going to.
Yeah.
She'll be using that awesome staff we've been seeing in all the trailers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool.
Maybe she can be trained in the art of double-bladed lightsabers.
Well, I mean, it does kind of look lightsaber-ish.
It does, yeah.
It does, yep.
Yep. Hopefully she gets to kick some ass using it.
And in additional news that made Nancy explode with glee, Oscar Isaac was photographed in his base jumpsuit.
Yes, that was lovely. Yeah, it was I don't know, it was like a candid picture outside of the trailer, and someone had it on their Instagram, and... yeah, it's nice.
It is nice.
It's good for costumers, too.
Is it red or is it orange? Blood orange.
Shut up, it's fucking red. Those are one F-bomb of the show.
Those are one F-bomb, we've used it. And September 4th will be a great and terrible day.
Yes, we're going to be at Dragon Con.
And now that we're staying on property...
yeah,
we're in so much trouble.
We're not going to be able to go out and get toys.
And books.
I know.
And sticker books.
I'll buy them
books.
All. Don't worry.
We might have to go out and do it. We might have to go. I don't know. We'll have to do something.
I'm sure someone from the Dragon Con track's making a run. We might have to tag along.
Yeah.
So, yes. Everything everything releases September 4th. The toys, the books, the coloring books, all the action figures, everything is September 4th. So gird yourselves, gird your wallets, start setting money aside now.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's going to be an expensive day for you.
We've discussed what action figures we're going to buy immediately and which ones we're going to wait for.
Need the trio.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Need BB-8.
Yes.
Need Kylo Ren.
Yes. Captain Phasma.
Captain Phasma.
Duh.
Or six.
And if there's Luke.
If there's Luke, we get Luke. And I need every different X-Wing toy they have.
There's going to be a lot of them, you know that.
All of them.
Yes, and I need them all.
Yes. But, I don't know if they're going to have, like, I don't know if they're going to have, like, a Luke action figure right away.
I wouldn't be surprised if they hold that one back.
Well, it'll depend on if we've seen a picture of him beforehand.
Now, what I want to know is if they're going to have Finn and Rey's full names on the packaging.
Yeah. That'll be interesting. I have to wonder what they're going to show at San Diego Comic-Con, what they're going to show at D23, because you know they're going to show, I don't know if they're going to show trailers, but I would imagine they're going to show one at D23. And, they're going to keep revealing more and more and more information. So it's going to be really weird if we just know them as Rey and Finn until the movie starts. And I mean, they don't really say the characters' full names in the movies that often. If I go through the entire movie and not knowing their full name, I'm going to punch somebody.
But maybe you need to get Rey and Finn action figures and keep them in the boxes, because it might be a limited edition run that doesn't feature the last name.
Right?
Yeah.
It'll be an ultra collectible. And is that all of it? That's all of it. That's all the news we've been needing to catch up on, which means it's time to go into Cammy's concerns.
Yeah.
Nancy, do you want to introduce this one?
Yes. We are talking about Luke Skywalker.
Yay.
We've never done that before.
Wait, who?
Some guy, he was whiny, said something along the lines of, I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Oh, that guy.
And
yeah.
Thus a podcast was born.
Yep.
So yeah, we've talked about Luke before on the podcast. I mean, I pretty much talk about him every week in some capacity. But he's my favorite character. And there's been so much talk about, you know, what he's going to be doing in The Force Awakens and what his role is. And, we wanted Heath on to talk about Luke Skywalker, and we can talk a little bit about The Force Awakens and what we hope to see. But first off, Heath, I have to ask you, what is it that you love about Luke Skywalker?
He goes through the perfect hero's journey. Over the course of the saga, you know, he's this just innocent guy on his planet, kind of minding his own business. And he even says, I hate the Empire, but like, what can I do? Like, just going about his life, gets sucked into this conflict that's bigger than him and ends up saving the galaxy. So, as I mentioned earlier, I became a Star Wars fan when I was like 10, 11-ish. And he was, at that age, just the perfect hero to look up to. And especially as someone, I grew up in like the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. So I felt a little bit like Tatooine was very similar in that there's just like nothing around and you just have this like yearning to get out and see more and do more. So it was really inspiring as a little kid from an area like that to see someone like Luke, who is really this nobody from nowhere, who ends up making a huge difference for millions, billions of people. That was really inspiring and just like made him the perfect hero for me.
And And you're going to have to give us a link to that blog post that you wrote, because that was really, really cool.
I don't know why, but now I can't think of Luke without hearing Part of Your World in my head.
No, stop it. But yeah, that would...
Wait, the Little Mermaid song, Part of Your World?
God, shut up.
Didn't you say my collection's complete?
What is wrong with you? Stop it. I'm going to mute
that. Fun fact, that's one of my go-to karaoke songs. So, at next celebration, Brian, you and I...
I'm down.
Oh, God in heaven. Good. Help us all.
I can ham it up at karaoke like no one else.
So, yes. And so, of course, we have to talk about our favorite moments.
Yeah.
So I have said mine numerous times. Binary Sunset is probably my favorite. Followed closely by the, final duel in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
So, Heath, what about you?
Yeah, clearly Binary Sunset is up there. I mean, being a 10-year-old kid in the theater, seeing Luke look over this massive sand dune and seeing two suns setting in the sky, I mean, it set your imagination running. So that was definitely one of my favorite moments. Anytime he's dueling with Vader, there's just so much tension between them, even before the father reveal, and then even more so after. I love feeling that tension anytime they're facing off, because there's so much conflict and so many layers to their conflict. Especially at the end of their Return of the Jedi duel, when Vader says that line about your sister, and Luke just goes nuts. And John Williams's score at that moment, I think the cue is called Jedi's Fury. Like, that is my favorite musical moment out of all of the movies. It is so good. Every single time I watch it, even if I just have the movie on in the background and I'm doing something else, every time that part comes on, I just drop whatever I'm doing, and my jaw hangs open again. So anytime he's dueling with Vader, I love all of the Dagobah scenes, just because I also love Yoda a lot. I think that's where you sort of see Luke really coming into his own, transitioning from that nobody from nowhere to the galaxy's biggest hero. So again, as a kid, that really resonated with me, seeing that journey actually happening. And he didn't just snap his fingers and become a superhero. He had to really work for it. And so I love those scenes too.
And for me, it's Luke chucking his lightsaber after the fight in Return of the Jedi, just because it's a rejection of both Palpatine and the old order.
Yep.
You're going to write that blog post one day, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to write that blog post. I've got some ideas sketched out for it.
Yay!
Good.
Excited. So, yeah. Okay, so one of the things I was really excited to talk to you about with Heath was that you are not big into the expanded universe, obviously, because you asked everyone to rank all the books. So have you read any of the books prior to, starting your quest to read?
Well, Darth Vader doesn't count.
So, fun fact, I did read that.
I'm sorry.
When I was 12 years old, I read that one. So when I became obsessed with Star Wars as a child, my mom would find random Star Wars books at yard sales and stuff and buy them and bring them home.
Aww.
But they were all they were mostly part of the Young Jedi Knight series, but they were all randomly out of order. So it was the seventh book in the series, and I just couldn't read it because I had no idea what was going on or who the characters even were.
The books you get at the Star Wars books you get at a garage sale. I think the first one I ever owned was it was Darksaber. I got it at a garage sale.
There's a reason it's at a garage sale.
Yeah, that's really good wisdom, actually. So I think that my sort of inability to pick up and roll with any of those books as a kid transferred over to me, like, never really going into the EU at all. And I think last year's announcement that it's now Legends felt really refreshing to someone like me, because I did reach a point where I was curious. I wanted to read these stories, but there was just so much there. You didn't know, like, where to jump in, what books to avoid. You almost felt like, I just have to read all of them. But since there was that clean break, there's, like, a lot less pressure now to do that. And I've read every single book that has been released in the new canon, except for Lords of the Sith. Haven't gotten to it yet. But it felt really good as someone who sort of wanted to have an expanded universe but didn't know where to start with the existing one, to feel like you could start fresh at the very beginning and actually keep up with it as it goes on.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point. Like, because it was when you had asked, and then a lot of other people, someone else had asked me, and I just heard a lot more people talking about the expanded universe that hadn't read them before. And I was like, you know, so many people were doom and gloom that this was going to kill these books and no one was ever going to read them again. But it seems like the opposite, that people are wanting to read them now, because either they don't feel like they have to read them all. You can just read the Thrawn trilogy and not feel like you're missing a whole bunch. Or, you know, like for me, if I don't like The Force Awakens, I'm going to go to my bookshelf and take The Heir to the Empire and read those, you know?
Yep.
So it's, you know, and, you know, people can start fresh and, you know, you know, they're not going to be releasing a crap load of books every year, but in a way that's almost a good thing, because you're not going to get overwhelmed. Like, I remember I was reading every EU book and then I just got overwhelmed because I was in high school and I could not keep up between that and school. And the same thing when I was in college, that was when I decided I'm not reading all the EU, because I could barely keep up with the New Jedi Order, much less all the prequel books coming out. So,
And that's exactly how I got started. I had a surgery this February and knew I was going to be, like, not able to do anything for a week. So I bought all three books in the Thrawn trilogy, like, exactly like you said. I've heard a lot of good things about these books. There are, like, zero stakes to reading them now. Like, I can just read them and enjoy them as books and not feel, like, so much investment in the story, even though, like, I clearly did feel investment in the story, but much less pressure to read it all or go through a whole series now.
And that's kind of how I think a lot of people feel, that they can just, you know, just jump right in wherever. And that's really funny, like you said about the surgery, because that was when I got caught up with the EU. I had foot surgery the summer after my freshman year of college, and for basically 2 months could not go anywhere because it was on my right foot, so I couldn't drive. So I read all the X-Wing books. I caught up with pretty much everything that I hadn't read. I think I read like 20 books that summer. It was ridiculous. So what have been your... So you read the Thrawn trilogy. So what's your impressions of Luke so far in the expanded universe?
I really, really, really like his portrayal in everything I've read so far. And I think that's mostly due to the fact that I've read really good books so far. Like, literally all I've read is Thrawn trilogy, Kenobi, which doesn't really feature Luke. He's just somewhere off in the distance.
He's saying goo goo gah.
And now I'm halfway through Shadows of Mindor. So I love that in Thrawn, you're seeing him still struggle with everything that happened with his father. I think that was it's just really realistic. It's something he was struggling so much with while Vader was still alive. And then the ending of Vader's life was a really intense event for him. Like, it's something he's going to carry around for a while. And I think you saw some sort of shades of gray with Luke there. He wasn't just like all light, definitely not dark. He was struggling with some stuff. There's weight on his shoulders, and I love that portrayal of Luke. He doesn't just emerge from Return of the Jedi this like hero and like, yay, everything's great, I'm a Jedi now. clearly that's not going to be the case, and I think it would be really easy to write him that way in the aftermath of Return of the Jedi, and I'm really glad that everything I've read so far doesn't do that. Yeah. Because not only is it not natural, it's not Luke either. Like, Luke really struggled with this stuff in the movies, so it would be really out of character to have him just shrug it off and move on with his life.
Yeah. And no, the Expanded Universe actually went in the other direction, and he became really emo and depressed for a while. Yeah.
Cool.
No, not cool. Well, no, it was before then. It was during the Bantam books. Yeah, there's a whole lot of bad in there. There's a whole lot of bad in there. But yeah, and the fact that you haven't read a lot of the books, I mean, I'm guessing you know at least kind of what happens to Luke.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I am a person who's invested 2 decades of my life into this specific storyline and what happens to Luke after Return of the Jedi. And I know that everything I have learned, I am about to unlearn. Even so, I have some expectations of what I would like to see.
I bet.
Yeah. So as someone who has not been strongly invested in the expanded universe and just going off of the films themselves, what do you think, like, in your headcanon, what happens to Luke after Return of the Jedi? Like, mm-hmm. And what do you want to see from him in Force Awakens?
Well, first, I love this about Star Wars, that, like, people have such different experiences and, like, carry different things with them.
Yeah.
With their fandom, and, like, but we're all still part of the same thing. I love that. That being said, I don't have too many expectations. My best friend and I will often get into really long text conversations about Star Wars and what's coming up.
I don't know anything of what that's like.
No, not at all. He is just convinced that in Force Awakens, Luke will have fallen to the dark side. He was convinced for a while that Kylo Ren was Luke. Clearly, that's not the case. Mm-hmm. I do not want that at all. So,
you have correct opinions.
One of my expectations is that is not true. But in terms of anything like, is he married? Does he have kids? I'm not expecting anything. I would love for him to have children, because the movies
correct
have
answer.
Always been about Luke and his parents.
And family.
Yeah, and that should continue. And clearly, the protagonist could also be Leia's son or mm-hmm. daughter. And that would also be fine. I would prefer for it to be Luke's, just because I have a stronger attachment to that character. So while I'm not setting any expectations for that around myself, I would love to see him have a family.
So George often said that he envisioned Luke as being a monk after Return of the Jedi.
Ugh.
So I'm guessing you don't quite buy that interpretation either.
No, and there are a lot of folks who grew up during the prequel era, like I did, who think that Luke would be like turning his back on the Jedi if he gets married and has kids, and like, no,
but
like,
that's
like,
the point, though.
Exactly, like you said, Brian, he was like turning his back on the old order, and that's awesome, because the whole prequel era was about how the Jedi were their own worst enemy, so why would he continue to do the same exact thing afterwards? So Monk Luke sounds really boring. I definitely don't want that. Yeah, no thanks.
Well, and to clarify, I know a lot of people have said, well, you know, he can be interesting without having kids, you know, or being married.
Certainly.
And that is 100% true. Yes. But my argument just stems from a character and a plot standpoint. Like, I think Luke as a person, I think, could be fulfilled if he was training Jedi and and that was his family. However, I could go into a whole, like, dissertation on his personality type, but Luke is an extrovert and he gloms on to people. I mean, you see it in the original trilogy, you know, he is, you know, becomes friends with Han and Leia immediately, you know, and even though you don't really see it explored, you know, he has Rogue Squadron, he's friends with Wedge, you know, they share their bro hug at the end of Return of the Jedi. And, you know, if you read the Expanded Universe, you know that, you know, they are good friends, and, you know, he's got a ton of other friends, you know, he goes with Lando on his search for a wife, you know, that's fun.
Which book was that?
This was in the Carillion trilogy.
You can skip it.
No, I'm reading it after that.
I can't see Luke as being a hermit.
No.
You know. And also,
unless something really significant has happened.
Yes, unless he's doing it for a purpose. But the thing is, Obi-Wan and Yoda were living alone for a very specific reason. And I mean, if something like that has happened, like, I can fully accept, like, Luke going off the grid or something. I could totally see him doing something like that.
I just can't see him doing that from the end of Jedi onwards.
Yeah, no.
No, that's a long time.
And, I mean, the good thing is that there is a long time, and there's obviously been a lot of stuff going on in the galaxy that, you know, will make sense. But, you know, I can't see Luke just withdrawing. I mean, if he was going to go withdraw, he would have done that after he burned Vader suit.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, if this movie was set 2 years after Return of the Jedi, I could see Hermit Luke happening.
Yeah.
That would make sense to me.
But
unless there's been some massive event that is, like, even more significant than Vader's death since Return of the Jedi, I can't see a reason why Luke would still be secluded.
Yeah. Although my only question is, why aren't we getting movies about that?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you know, the movie ends, he goes and he returns to the celebration, he hugs Leia, he hugs Han, he hugs Wedge, he's in that happy family portrait, you know, so if he did not want to go back to them, he could have easily just faked his death and gone on. I've written that fic before.
He had a hyperspace equipped shuttle.
Yeah.
He could have totally
just gone wherever.
Left right then.
Yeah.
Yep.
But he didn't. And that's saying a lot.
Like, kids thing. I like to, like, step back and look at episodes 1 through 9 as, like it's a massive novel. And if you're reading a giant novel like that that's about one family, it would be really, really strange 2/3 of the way through that novel for the sort of protagonist to switch all of a sudden. Like, if you're following Anakin and then Anakin's son, and then all of a sudden, oh, someone else's son is now the main character. That, it's a weird shift.
Yeah, the episodes are a family triptych.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah,
That's part of why I would much prefer it to be Luke over Leia.
Mm-hmm.
Because Leia's children would obviously work as the protagonist because she's part of the family, but Luke's would work even better because it's the same direct line.
I mean, I think it would be really interesting if it was one Leia's and one of Luke's. Yes,
that would be really intriguing.
Yes, and if that is not what we get, I would probably write that instead. That's my answer to everything. I'm just gonna.
I will read it.
But and I will say I wouldn't mind if it's Leia's, you know, kids who are the stars, mainly because I think Leia got the shaft in Jedi.
Yes, she did.
I love Return of the Jedi as a movie. It's my favorite Star Wars movie, favorite movie, period. But I think she should have gone with him. Like, I understand why she didn't. She wasn't trained as a Jedi, but I just, like, she never got that closure. You know, she was Vader's daughter too. Like, I hate that she never got to be an awesome Jedi, and I hope they're rectifying that in The Force Awakens. So having her kid be the new hero would kind of make up for that in my mind. But at the same time, you know, the idea of Luke having a kid, especially a daughter, and that person being the new hero would just, I've said this before, I will have to be carried out of the theater if that's what happens, because I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle how happy I am. But and I've read so many articles lately, so many interviews about how this movie is and how Star Wars is about family.
Well, Hana means family. Family means behind.
So, I mean, you can't talk about that and have it. I mean, it's an adopted family. You know, Han isn't part of the line, but he becomes part of the family. Same with Obi-Wan. But, like, I think one of the reasons why, even though I love the prequels, I don't think they resonate as much with me is because, you know, it's not that direct family conflict. Like, the family there is kind of like the Jedi Order.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
Whereas in the original trilogy, it's, you know,
it's actual
father versus son. You know, and sister. And I mean, you don't need to look any further than what we got in the second teaser. Mm-hmm. And which is why I, you know, nearly jumped out of my chair when the narration started, because let's see, the first line is, "The Force is strong in my family." And I know a lot of people are doom and gloom about Luke's role in the sequel trilogy and that he's not going to have a big part. You know, they say he's only going to be in a little tiny scene or whatever. And I mean, I don't know, because I just get little vague hints of rumors secondarily because I don't read them.
Same. I stay far away from that.
But even if he's only in one scene, even if he's only got one little part, the fact that they chose that narration for the teaser, and it was really the first bit of plot we'd gotten, like, officially. Yep. Like, they told us a little bit about the characters at that panel, and then we got that teaser, and that was our first real hint of, this is what this movie is about. They're not going to choose those lines that we know and show Vader's helmet, Luke with R2, presumably Leia getting this lightsaber we all know.
And then have Luke be a hermit without any connection to anyone.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Like, people are like, well, you know, he's the person he's talking to isn't necessarily part of his family, because you wouldn't say the Force is strong in my family if you're talking to a member of your family. I'm like, okay.
Sure you would. He said that.
He said it to Leia. Yeah, he did. Exactly. And also, it's narration. It's not lines that are actually in the movie. They chose them to make a point. And, you know, saying you have that power too to some random person, you know, doesn't, I mean, I kind of believe that Finn is force sensitive and not part of the family, but I feel like Rey is part of family.
But what makes more sense, to go into exposition about your family and then saying to some stranger you have no connection to, oh yeah, and you have that power too? Or is it better to say, I'm a Jedi, I'm strong in the Force, you have that
power
too?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. Like, I mean, he used that line with Leia to soften the blow, to say, hey, guess what, you're part of my family too, womp womp. Yep.
Yeah, you would only say that to someone in your family.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And so I go either way. I go with the whole Rey is his niece because it'll soften the blow if that is what happens. But I would just love, I would love her to be a Skywalker. I can deal with Uncle Luke because I've seen Uncle Luke in the expanded universe. That is a role I really, really like. But it's a role I really like because he takes an active role in training Leia's kids and, you know, being their mentor. And he's like a second father to them. Especially Jason. Which I have thoughts about. But I mean,
Jason, no.
But so yeah, I could deal with Uncle Luke, and I would like to see Uncle Luke because I think Uncle Luke would be hilarious. But I think we're all in agreement that Daddy Luke would, and also like because you see him growing up in the original trilogy without knowing his parents, and him getting to have what he didn't have,
yeah,
would be very meaningful.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're all in agreement that that is Luke in the teaser with R2. And R2 is family.
Absolutely.
That makes me happy.
I'll have to be carried out of the theater if something happens to R2.
I never even thought about that.
I can't do it.
Great. Now I'm not going to be able to sleep until December 18th. Thanks. Thanks.
All these people have been like, what if the Falcon gets destroyed? And I'm kind of like, that would be interesting. But now thinking of R2 being destroyed is just like, ugh.
The Falcon I can deal with. R2, no. Nope. 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 Nope.
But I want the Falcon to be handed down to Rey.
Oh. Yeah. And especially the fact that there's this lightsaber that is a common thread. You know, handing it down to a random person doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Which is why I always believe that Luke and Mara were destined to be together, because you don't give some random woman your dead father's lightsaber. That's another story. Spoilers, Heath. Spoilers.
Do you at all, as someone who has spent a lot of time with the EU, mm-hmm. worry about if Luke does have children, clearly there was a woman involved, do you worry, like, if it's Mara, they don't do Mara right? Or if it's not Mara, that, like, what are your thoughts on
that? So I feel like if it's going to be Mara, that she's going to be dead. And I think that would be the best option to have.
Right. Just, like, don't have to portray her at all. Yeah.
If he has kids, they don't even have to mention the mother.
Right.
Hello, original trilogy. We've been there, done that. You know, I feel like if he is married to a completely new character that has not been introduced in any other media, it would be stupid of them because you have the emotional weight of a name of a character, and they don't even have to do anything. They can just say, you know, have Luke have had a wife who's dead. Or, you know, mother of children who's dead. People will connect the dots in their head. And then they can go and write whatever books they want.
As you will.
Yeah, and people will pay attention to them or not.
Yep.
Now, I do have another theory. because, obviously, Rey does not resemble Mara Jade in the slightest.
Correct.
However, there is a person who was recently cast in a movie that could resemble Rey, and would have a chance to meet Luke Skywalker if she survives the events of said movie coming up.
Felicity Jones, is that who you're referring to?
That's who I am referring to. So, you know, they could have been involved after Return of the Jedi, and she could have died, or she could not be dead. But I think those are only two options I will accept, is that it's a unnamed person who is Mara, or it's whoever Felicity Jones is playing. I would give up Mara Jade for a Skywalker daughter who's Felicity Jones.
Interesting.
I know a lot of people will disagree with me.
Yeah.
No, I'm on board with you there.
I know a lot of my Mara fans will disagree with me, but I feel like I'd be willing to swap. But ideally I would love for it to be her, and you know.
Right. Yep.
But I mean, it's just kind of, you look at Daisy Ridley and you're like, she cannot not be a descendant of Shmi Skywalker, Padme Amidala.
Yeah.
I mean, she looks just like them.
Yes, she does.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you don't cast her if that's not who she's a descendant of.
Yeah.
Yeah, she looks more like, everyone always talks about how much she looks like Natalie Portman, and I actually think she looks more like Shmi.
Yeah.
I really do.
It's just, it's the hair, it's the eye, you know, the dark hair, the dark eyes, she, you know. And, you know, and I mean, she could be a descendant of Mara, I mean, because they don't have to have Mara Jade look the way she looks in the Expanded Universe. But even if she did, like, genetics are freaky people.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen people who are related that I'm like, there is no way that you two people are related.
Sometimes people just come out looking weird.
Yeah, and I mean, Luke and Leia are twins.
Yep.
And look nothing alike. Yes, Luke looks like his father and Leia looks like her mother, but, you know, you would not look at them and be like, oh yeah, you're siblings.
Yep.
So, and the same thing with Anakin and Shmi.
Mm-hmm.
And Anakin, and apparently Shmi is the only parent, so Anakin should have dark hair and dark eyes, so yeah, genetics are weird people, and they can do whatever they want. I mean, Finn could be Luke's kid, if we really wanted to go there, and I would love for that to happen.
Oh, I would be totally in support of that. Yeah. Even if Finn is like an adopted child,
yes.
Fine, let's do it.
I wrote that.
Just did you?
I did.
Good.
But yeah, I would be all for that. Yeah. Brian, any thoughts?
I don't know what's left that you two haven't already covered. This is one of those shows where I'm just kind of on the back burner, like Paul Schaefer, providing just input here and there and a snarky comment.
We're going to have
Luke.
We're going to have people on to talk about Poe Dameron, and then you can talk.
All of my crazy theories about how he was trained by Wedge Antilles and Wes Jansen.
That's not crazy. That's obvious.
I could go on that subject for a long time.
I mean, Heath would agree, even though he hasn't read the X-Wing books, because it's Wedge. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Freaking, yeah.
Yeah.
So, as far as getting away from the family aspect, another big issue people have wondered about is, what will we see of the Jedi in the sequel trilogy? And, you know, I've heard a lot of people say that if there's not a Jedi Order, Luke will have failed. You know, there needs to be Jedi around. And I mean, I agree to an extent. I want Luke to have trained Jedi. But, you know, it looks like the galaxy has not been stable. So I can understand there not being a thriving order. But I do think it is a very bad decision if he has not trained anybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He needs to have trained at least Leia a bit. And if Leia does have children, started to train them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like you said, the galaxy has clearly been an unstable place. We, like, presumably the Empire ceased to exist for a while, but then this First Order rose up. Like, that's a lot. It's a lot to happen in 30, 35 years.
Yeah.
So it would be understandable if there's not a full-fledged Jedi Order of some kind, but I agree with you that it would be disappointing if Luke has just sort of been chilling around and not making sure that there are other Jedi around.
Yeah. I mean, if it's still a situation where the Jedi are persecuted, you know, obviously he's going to have to do this in secret. And the one thing the latest idea I read that I loved was, you know, what if Luke has just trained like 12 Jedi, like the Knights of the Round Table? And I was just like, oh, man.
See, that would be awesome. Yeah, I love that.
He rebuilds the council and only the council. Yeah.
Well, I mean, because if you think about it, like in the expanded universe, he trained a lot of Jedi at one time because, you know, he was trying to rebuild quickly. And then as there became more Jedi, they slowly, you know, took on the whole master and apprentice idea, which was mainly because that was when the prequels were coming out and the expanded universe decided to emulate the prequels. But I mean, for something like the Jedi, it does make sense that that is how they learn. But, and I think it would also make sense that that is how Luke would feel most comfortable teaching, because that's how he learned. And he's still really super young when Return of the Jedi ends. He hasn't had a lot of training. He's not going to know what the heck he's doing. So I think Leia would be the obvious first person for him to want to train.
Yep.
Because, you know, they can learn together. And then after that, I feel like whoever he would train would have to be someone that he would know or have a close relationship with.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, like in the expanded universe, you know, Mara is one of the first person people he trains in the Force, because they're, you know, going through this, you know, thing together. But, you know, I could see him wanting to just train one Jedi at a time, and because he doesn't want to repeat his father's mistakes or Obi-Wan's mistakes, rather.
Yep.
So I think, I mean, I would like for them to be a whole lot of Jedi, but
I don't think we're going to see Jedi in the scale like we did in the prequel trilogy.
And I think that's a good thing.
I do think that's a good thing.
I mean, yeah. I would like for them to be more than the words in the original trilogy, but I mean, it's more small scale. I mean, the best parts of the prequels were when it was very small scale. You know, when Obi-Wan and Anakin got away from the huge battle and confronted Dooku by themselves, you know, or when, you know, Palpatine went up against four Jedi as opposed to like hundreds, you know. I think that was when it was small scale, more intimate, that sort of thing.
Yep. Agreed.
Yep.
Anything else we want to hit up? We're at the hour 15 marker now.
Very quickly, we can discuss the comparisons and similarities between Luke Skywalker and Captain America.
Oh, God, very quickly.
I think this needs a dissertation.
Well, I mean, they're basically the same character. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, Cap's moral compass is set a little more to true north than Luke's is, I think.
Yeah.
So I think he'd actually be a really good mentor for Luke.
Someone should write that fic.
Yes. They but yeah, aside from that, I mean, like, basically same character. We don't have to get into that because I could go on for a while.
I think that's also why I loved when I started getting into the Star Wars was when right around the time Lois and Clark was on TV. I super loved that show and loved Clark, and I think it's because Clark and Luke were kind of very similar characters.
Yep.
I have a type. And the funny thing is Poe Dameron is not that type at all.
Right, yeah. Not even remotely, it seems.
But, yeah.
And I mean, Cap and Luke, they both don't get the girl. Like,
mm-hmm.
Luke's interest ends up being his sister, which is weird.
That's an understated way of putting it.
Cap's interest by the time he's unfrozen is like 87 years old. So they both go through very similar things.
Mm-hmm. And then you get to the expanded universe and it gets even worse. It's way worse. Yep. And I think that's one of the reasons why I'd be okay with Luke's, you know, wife being dead, because I mean, it's not any different than what we had.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Brian's looking at me.
Is he asleep?
I could keep talking.
I know, which is why I'm almost hesitant to ask any other points you want to bring up.
I just want to say, for everyone who's a Luke fan and who's worried about The Force Awakens, I understand it's scary because we have expectations. Like, we all fought in the Luke ship wars in the 1990s and we thought they were won, and now we're fighting them all over again. But, like, honestly, I was excited about The Force Awakens, because who's not going to be excited about a new Star Wars movie? But I was really not super excited until I saw that second teaser at Celebration. And, like, the moment Luke started talking, it was like someone saying me, it's going to be okay.
Yep.
Because I firmly believe they do not use narration by Luke Skywalker if he is not going to be of huge importance, or his legacy is not going to be hugely important, especially the lightsaber, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I remember watching the first teaser that morning it was released, and like, obviously my initial reaction was like, wow, new Star Wars, this is amazing. But like 5 seconds after the teaser ended, I turned to my wife and said, we didn't see any of the original cast.
I thought the same thing.
Like, that's what I was like most looking forward to, mm-hmm. for that teaser, and then it didn't happen, and like, it was amazing. I loved it. But there was also this like, oh, where are they?
Yeah.
But I'm glad we like kind of saw them, yeah. in the new one.
And I think it was good because I think it set everyone up for the expectation that this is going to be about new characters.
Yeah.
Not there's it's a new big three, which is good.
Yes.
Because that was the problem of the expanded universe, was that they would not move on and the stories got tired and repetitive.
Yep.
And they're doing something new and it should be applauded. And
yep.
even if they just have Luke, Leia, and Han in the movies for just a little period of time, that's okay. But the fact that they're going to be still important and still have a role to play, I think that was what this teaser was about, like, transition.
Like, I think that's going to be hard for a lot of people in a weird way. They're expecting this to still be about the old gang, and they're gonna be disappointed that it's not. And I mean, they can be disappointed all they want, but it shouldn't be. So
yeah. And I mean, if you look at the way the trailer was set up, you know, it starts with that amazing shot of the Star Destroyer on Jakku, with, you know, Rey on her speeder in the background, which we've seen before. And then it goes immediately to imagery we are familiar with, yet that is still unfamiliar. You know, we've got Vader's helmet, you know, all smashed and burnt up. We have Luke and R2 on some strange world. Leia getting a lightsaber that we know from someone we don't, and in some place we don't know. But those are all three characters we know. And then it jumps into all of the new stuff. So it's kind of...
which is all amazing.
Yeah. So it's like, all right, here is what you know. And here is what you need to know. And I mean, like, I could go on and on and on about how wonderfully perfect this teaser was as setting up expectations, but it can't be overstated at how, like, if J.J. Abrams can make a movie as good as that teaser, I will be okay.
Yeah, I actually, after that teaser, went back and watched teasers from the prequels,
mm-hmm.
and walked away thinking none of those teasers were even nearly as good.
And like, they were good teasers,
they were
too.
Good. Like, even though it's just a teaser, I feel like it does give you a good sense of what the film as a whole will be like and the quality of the film. And after that second teaser, I am pumped.
I think the only one that I really thought, I think the best one from the prequels was the first Revenge of the Sith one, where they use the Obi-Wan narration from A New Hope.
Yeah.
And then you see Anakin on Mustafar.
Yeah.
Because it was very, it set the stage very well. You know, this is what this is going to be about.
Yeah. And then, I love the one, the breathing one from Attack of the Clones. Oh, so good. So good.
But, and that was very much like the first The Force Awakens teaser we got, which was
just
very,
like, little snippets with,
no clue what the heck this is about.
Nope.
But I am glad we're getting more some of idea of plot, and but I, at the same time, I hope they don't give us too much because I don't want to be inundated with stuff.
Yeah.
By the time the movie comes out.
Yep.
You don't want this to be Age of Ultron.
No, I don't. I mean, if it was, I would just do what I did for Age of Ultron and not listen to anything.
Yeah, I felt like I saw Age of Ultron before I saw it.
I mean, I'm sure we're going to get another trailer at least, probably a couple more and some clips, but...
Yeah.
If honestly, if this is all we got by the time the movie came out, I think I'd be okay.
Yes, me too. Me too.
Yeah.
Do I dare ask if there's anything else we want to talk about?
Is there anything you want to talk about, Brian?
Is there anything you want to talk about, Brian?
I think we have covered everything. We have covered literally everything.
Well, I will say the one thing I want, well, I won't say the one thing I want from Luke because that's a lie. But one thing I really want is that at some point in the sequel trilogy, doesn't have to be the first movie, I want Luke to have a Dumbledore in Order of the Phoenix moment. I want for him to come and save the day and just kick the bad guy's ass, whether it's with a lightsaber, using the Force, you know, whatever. Like, I want him to just be Jedi Master Luke and just have that one moment. Because I mean, I got that in the Expanded Universe a lot, but the idea of getting to actually see Mark Hamill, you know, in action again would just thrill me to the core. And if he's in an X-Wing again, you'll have to again peel me up off the floor.
It seems like there are many, many things
that would peel
will
me
happen
off the floor.
That are going to require people being carried out of the theater.
It's going to be all Beatles mania.
I have a lot of feelings about Luke Skywalker, okay?
At an hour 22 minutes. I'm not sure if that's true or not, Nancy.
Shut up. I'm going to laugh at you when we talk about Wedge and Poe Dameron. We go 5 hours long.
I don't know if I can wrangle that many feelings. You have the number of feelings you have about Luke Skywalker is truly exceptional.
Shut up.
Bring Nerf on. He can do it.
I know, right? We had him on to talk about the teaser. It was it was very similar discussion.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can make sure that this episode isn't 300 megabytes when I upload it, we're going to go ahead and wrap up there. Heath, where can we find you online?
I'm on Twitter at Heath D as in dog Williams.
Excellent. Okay. This episode of Toshi Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Check out the links. Help us keep the lights on. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles Toshi_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with Nancy Pants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with Lane Winry, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we are the Toshi Station Network. We're available on the iTunes Store and the Stitcher Marketplace. You can find our columns and news at Toshi-Station.net. Thanks for listening to another episode. Catch you all again next week.
Bye.
So long. This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of ToshiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Toshi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.